G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Let's see if I remember how to do this. Welcome, everyone, to Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. Hope you all went out on the past, well, couple of weeks, I guess, and enjoyed local pro wrestling. I hope I saw you at AWA Homecoming, which was the big show that I was involved in. I suppose I better explain why I haven't been around for the last couple of weeks, and pretty much AWA Homecoming is probably one of the big reasons why I haven't been around for a while, because I'm fairly involved behind the scenes when it comes to AWA, and that did occupy a lot of my time, unfortunately, which meant I couldn't get out to interview people, and when I was on shows, I couldn't interview people at shows because I was so busy helping to run the shows, and it's a whole involved process, but rest assured, we're back. I won't say we're better than ever because we, you know, who knows. Oh, this is a terrible open. How have you been anyway? I've been good. AWA Homecoming, for me anyway, I think it was great. We drew over, I think it was over 400 people rocked up to the show. And by all sounds coming from the guys, coming from the crowd, they seem to enjoy it. And a couple of really good matches coming from that. Of course, Xander Sullivan is the new first ever open weight champion of Queensland, which is great. He's a real promising kid, and I do expect big things from him coming up in the next year. So keep your eyes peeled for him, of course, Xander Sullivan. Other guys on that card, Sebastian Matters was great. Zeke Andino was great. EC Diamond won the Homecoming Cup, and that's another name that I think in the next year or so, you're going to hear big things from. I know he's going away to train really soon at OVW with Al Snow and that. So when he gets back from that, I can't wait to see how good he's going to be then, because he's already really good now leaving the country. So I can't wait to see how he is when he gets back and how much he hits the ground running as well. I guess my guest this week talks about hitting the ground running. And my guest this week is the prize bull, Sam Osborne. I go into explaining why I have him on this week as a guest, so I won't bore you with repeating the story. But yeah, really great chat. He is the FWA champion. He has a match coming up this weekend against Matty Wahlberg for that title, so go and check that out if you're in the neighborhood of FWA, in the Sydney sort of area. But yes, that is a quick intro tonight, because I just want to get into it and really get into this conversation with Sam. A great guy and a good conversation right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of
Earlier this week, there was a little a thing on What Would Gorilla Monsoon Do? The little Facebook page. It's on Facebook. It's about wrestling, and that Joel Bateman actually put up an interesting question saying, who are the top five guys or girls, just workers, that you think are the ones that people aren't really talking about at the moment who are set to really do big things? And my guest this week is one of those guys that I did name. It is the prize bull, Sam Osborne. How are you today, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm very good, very good. Now, where did you start training in Sydney, then go? Because you went to, did you go to Lancers?
No, I did not go to Lancers. I went to Battle Arts Academy in Toronto at Santino's place.
Yeah, because I knew when you were up with Nick and I don't want to say your shoot name.
Tony. Yeah. I'll say it.
Yes, Tony. You are Krishinda
Singh.
Yes, there you go. I don't know why I can never remember that, but yeah.
I never met Nick in Canada, though.
You did.
I did not.
You didn't. Ah. See, because...
You mean Nick Berry, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, no, because I didn't go to Lancers.
No, see, that's why I'm confused, because I was going to sit down with the three of you to do a podcast, but we just lost
track. That would be fun. We should do that.
Yeah, he was going, oh yeah, because we're all from like Canada and all that. So I just figured you must have done Lancers as well. But you started at Battle Arts, did you?
No, I didn't start there. I started at APWG. I started the Australian Pro Wrestling Gym in Penrith.
Yep.
With Lee Leslie, or Jay Law, which is his working name. And that was awesome. There's still a lot of guys from my class still going. Will Kiedis was in there. Parrish De Silva was in there. Referee John Anderson was in there. Brad Alexander. I'm definitely not naming everybody, but good class. A lot of guys still going.
How long ago was that?
Oh God. 5 years?
Wow.
4 years? I had my first match just over 4 years ago.
Okay. See, that's good for a class to be that many still in the business from that long ago. Because I know the class that I was in, and I'm going on 9 years now, there's only two of us left from that class that are still sort of working around. So to have that many still around, you're doing well.
Yeah, we were lucky, man. Speaking of guys not talked about often enough, Jay Law is one of those guys. He's a seriously good worker. He was a seriously good coach, and he got me off to a very good start.
How long did you work in Australia before you decided to go over to Battle Arts?
Not long at all. Give up, mate. I reckon I had maybe 10 matches.
All right, wow.
If that, honestly. Yeah. I only did the APWG, the VIP shows, which was in the back of a supplement house, which was awesome. And then we did like the Bondi shows as well that they do. That was all I'd done, other than maybe an IWA Rumble, and I think I did a Rock and Roll Rumble or something like that. But nothing like, I had very inexperienced when I got over there.
So what made you think, like, just from doing your training and then having your first couple of matches, that I need to get out overseas? And what made you pick Battle Arts to start with?
Battle Arts was a bit of a dart at the map, to be honest. But I was my perception, whether it was true or not, was that at the time there was very little going on in Australia for wrestling. It definitely hadn't boomed yet. And I was pretty ignorant as well. Like, I didn't really know anything about Australian pro wrestling. And I kind of just went, I really want to have a crack at doing this properly. I want to go overseas. To me, Canada seemed like a very logical step because it wasn't a culture shock at all. It was just, it's so easy to get a visa. Everyone speaks, you know, I don't have to learn Japanese or something like that. So it just seemed like a bit easier. And then, from my perspective, it was you could either go to Lancers or you could go to Battle Arts. And obviously Lancers is an amazing school that have produced some really awesome guys. But again, this was just my perception, was that Lancers, if you go, you're signing up for a semester and you're sort of, you start going in as a beginner. And I felt like I was already at that level where I could have matches and I didn't really want to start from scratch. I kind of just wanted to get in and start working and training with, you know, doing more advanced stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm right about that. Lance might have a class where you can jump in as an already established worker. I could be wrong. But this was just what my idea was at the time. So, yeah, I sent emails to Battle Arts and heard back pretty quick, figured out what the deal was. I flew over with nowhere near enough money and nowhere to live, and found a basement apartment that was shitty. Am I allowed to swear on this show?
Yeah, go for it, mate.
It was fucking shit. And it was the worst basement apartment ever, but it was all I could afford. And then I eventually found a bar job, and yeah, the rest is history. Battle Arts was awesome.
Yeah, and you ran into Nick there, and...
I didn't run into Nick. I didn't run into Nick there.
You didn't? I thought you tagged up with him there. Or was that
on your own? I never met Nick until I came back to Sydney in September last year. I met him in Melbourne, but yeah.
Because I swore I saw some stuff with you and him over there.
No.
No? What am I thinking then? Like, as tag matches?
You mean Tony?
Yes. Sorry, Tony.
Oh, sorry. No, no, you said Nick.
Yeah, I did. I did say Nick. I'm well off tonight.
No, Tony. Yes. Yes, Tony, I met over there.
Yes. And it must be weird because, like, he wasn't really known as an Australian guy either and doesn't really have that much of an Australian accent. So when you ran into him, it must have been a bit of a weird, like, oh, yeah, I'm from Brisbane. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Well, he did have an Australian accent at the time. Oh. I don't know if it's been watered down a bit, but he wasn't really. He's the only match he's ever. I'm fairly certain the only match he's ever had in Australia is that one that when he came down to Queensland.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, because he never worked beforehand. He was just went over the Lancers. So, yeah, when I met him at Battle Arts, and I guess he'd come from Calgary over to Toronto. And it was literally just, I heard someone with an Aussie accent in the break room, and I was like, what? That's an Aussie accent. There's no Aussie accents around here. And I even said to him on day one, because I was, you know, working singles matches on Battle Arts at the time, and the second I met him, I was like, oh, shit, well, there goes my singles run, because, you know, any time in wrestling, if two people are from the same country, you're automatically a tag team.
Yeah, or at least a faction.
Yeah, yeah. So, and sure enough, within 3 weeks, we were the Ripperoos.
Oh, wow. That is Aussie.
How Aussie is that?
So, how does Battle Arts work? Is it just like a promotion over here where you train together and then you have the shows? Or is it a sort of a separate issue?
I think now it's a little bit different. I'm a bit more removed from it now because I'm not there. But when I was there, it was essentially they had training and then they had the shows. But the shows were, you know, virtually only open to students with a couple of exceptions. So they were not – it was a promotion, but it wasn't a promotion in the sense of like you know, they pretty much only use their students. They rarely would bring in everything someone else. And if it was, it was an exception. Like they'd have Damien Sandow on the show or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's how it runs. Now they have, they definitely have two shows. They have Battle Arts Rising Stars, which I'm fairly sure is how it used to run, and that it's just a student show. And now they have Battle Arts Pro, which is a promotion. And they'll bring in other talent and use, I guess, only the really like the top students that are doing really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how it runs.
So then the main trainer there is like Anthony Corelli or Santino Morella, is it? Or is he someone else and he's just ahead of it? He's the trainer.
So Yuki Ishikawa was the head coach when I was there. He's a Japanese legend. He's the founder of the original Battle Arts that was circulating in the mid-90s. And just like, you know, absolute expert when it comes to like shoot style wrestling. He's just the master. He was really, really incredible to learn from. And he's influenced my style a great deal. So he was the head coach for the majority of the time that I was there. Shortly before I left, he ended up going back to Japan. So now Anthony was obviously, you know, a huge influence, and he was at training also. But, you know, we'd usually train with Toy, or we'd train with Yuki for a while, and then Anthony would, you know, go through, you know, the more finer points of, you know, like psychology and et cetera.
Yeah,
so, yeah, Yuki was the head coach, but now he's not there anymore, so I think Anthony takes the majority of it. But again, I'm not really there, so I can't really speak for exactly how it works now.
Yeah. Is it much because I imagine the Japanese style is a lot different to the American style, which Anthony would teach with the psychology style of it anyway.
But that's the thing that was so good about it is that Yuki's style was that shoot style, but Anthony learned from Yuki. So Anthony, before he was Santino Morella, was I think it was Boris Alexiev. Yes. Oh, my smoke alarm's gone off.
Hello. kids on fire.
Give me one second.
Oh, dear.
So, pausing. Or just turn that off.
Hang on, I'll pause it.
All right, I'm just stepping outside. Sorry about that.
No, you're right.
So Anthony is himself really, really, like, he's an expert at that shoot style as well.
Yes.
And that's more the way he worked before he came to Santino Marella.
I really enjoyed his gimmick when he was Boris in OVW, I think it was.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It was a great game.
He's a
That's why I was sort of shocked when he was what he was in WWE, because it was like, that Boris gimmick was great.
Yeah, but so was Santino.
Yeah, exactly. Santino didn't die for him either.
This is the thing, is that, like, you see so many elements of both characters in him as a performer and a person. This is, like, you know, in my opinion, he's a legitimate badass. He's been a black belt in judo longer than I've been alive. And he is, you know, like, he's a monster. Like, he's, as a real fighter, he's incredible. And then, but then he's also one of the funniest dudes you'll ever meet in your life. So you can sort of see how he can do both. And that's why he's one of the most underrated, you know, performers ever. It's just because he's, you know, such a good worker, such a good shooter, and it's just freaking hilarious and so entertaining as well. So really good guy to learn from, because, again, comes back to doing that shoot sort of stuff with Toy. But then Santino, you know, you're in the WWE for 10 years. The amount of, you know, the vast array of knowledge that comes just from being there for that long and what he brings to the table. So that team of coaching was really, really incredible to learn from for, you know, the better part of 2 years.
Yeah, I can't actually wait to see him on Bloodsport, because when I saw him be announced for it, I saw all these comments, right, like, what does he know? I'm like, well, these dudes have no idea what's about to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I don't know how... you know, how much people know about, you know, what an awesome fighter he is. So we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. So when you were over in Canada doing the what was it? The Diggeroos?
The Ripperoos.
Ripperoos. You're doing the Ripperoos.
Ripperoos.
You've come back to Australia and you've sort of, well, how would you describe your the prize bull character now?
Oh, it took me a while to get there. When I first came back, I was floundering.
Because I remember when we worked you up here, we were like, well, wear heels. And you're like, oh, Jay, I don't know what to do. I'm like, you'll be fine.
what was that, sir?
When you first came up here, when you came up to work the Venom show against Jake and I.
Right.
And we were like, well, wear heels. And you're just like, oh, shit, I don't know how to go with that. You'll be fine.
I was pretty comfortable doing the baby face. Like, at the time, I was mostly baby face. Yeah, it was just more that, you know, as soon as I came back, obviously the gimmick in Canada was that I was Australian. And that's not as exciting when you're in Australia. So
I'm one of you.
Yeah, so it's kind of just, I sort of came back and I knew I wanted to do something different, but... You know, in all honesty, I hung around in Canada a bit too long when I was, you know, jobless towards the end of that run. And I came back very cash poor. So setting up a new gimmick and buying new gear and all that sort of stuff was just not a priority. But I wanted to hit the ground running with regards to matches. So I used what I had. That was, you know, stuff with the Australian flag on it. So, a lot of the stuff I did, I enjoyed, like, I had some good matches and whatever else, but the character was awful. Let's call it what it is. So I think the prize bull character, it started when we were on PWA as I was brought in to do the Kelly Gang, and I think it was just a, you know, there's a spot there. Sam's okay, I guess. Let's put him in. So, so we came in for that spot, but we really wanted to make it to work really well. We're like, how can we make this make sense? So, you know, it was a North Shore vibe because obviously Jackson Kelly's established that, that, you know, gimmick for the Kelly Gang. Yeah. So we kind of wanted to, I guess Kelly's the beach bum, and then, you know, Kiedis was a bit more hipster. And then what other kind of people do you have in the North Shore? You have like the douchebag rich kid. Okay, yeah. Cool, I'll play that. And that was just sort of how it started. And then...
But also you've already had, you have sort of the look for it anyway. You sort of, you know what I mean? You already had the, like the short hair, the clean cut look. It was almost perfect for you.
The clean cut and the short hair is just how, you know, that's just what I look like. So if we go, and then, yeah, so adding it to the element of rich kid to it and having that clean cut persona wasn't really much of a stretch, I guess.
your style of promo that you do is,
yes,
I love it because it's refreshingly different. Like, you're literally just, you're sort of half respecting the guy, but you're still taking the piss out of their promo while they're doing it. If that's the way, I love it. It absolutely popped me the first time I saw it, when I think you had the, I can't remember who it was, who you were promoing against, but you just had like the iPad and you played his promo and was commenting.
Oh, the for Dowie.
Yes, for Dowie, that's who it was. And just the way you were doing that before, I'm like, this is good because I don't see this all the time. What made you come up with that idea? Basically, it's like Mystery Science Theater 3000, but you're doing it as a promo.
Yeah, that idea in particular, I don't know. I think I was genuinely watching his promo on a MacBook at the time. And I was like, oh, this is cool, Dowie's promo. And then we kind of just went, this would be funny. That was it. There was not much thought put into it. It was just like, oh, let's just pour a scotch and get in character and just have fun with it and see if it turns out okay. And then I was like, oh, this is kind of funny. Let's edit it a little bit, put it up, see how it goes. That was that one in particular. Some of them I put a lot more thought into and a lot more effort into. But yeah, honestly, some of the ones that have been the most well-received have been the ones where it's just like, yeah, let's have a little bit of fun and see what comes out.
Oftentimes that's the way it is because you're more... almost natural, you're more, because you're naturally in the gimmick at the time, if you know what I mean. You're not trying to put on something, you're just reacting as your character would react.
And I think that's like the, you know, the secret to it for me anyway, is just to try and be genuine and not so pro wrestling. I don't feel like, you know, this Sunday at the Superdome, you're gonna, like, I just don't feel like it cuts it anymore. And, you know, people, you know, when you're a pro wrestler and you're angry all the time, and it's a bit, I don't know. I think it's more interesting when, wrestlers are real people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, I guess it's like, you know, you want to be larger than life and over the top and et cetera. But, I feel like when there's that element of genuine to it, it's much more interesting.
Yeah, I think it works. It works for some people, but for the character you have now, this style works perfectly.
Right, thank you.
Just because of the way that, like, if they're going, I'm going into this, and you're just like, yeah, okay, mate, whatever. Nice try, champ. Okay.
Making it sound like I'm just burying everyone.
No, but it's good. No, but that's what it is, because it makes the fans watching it want to see you get your ass kicked.
Right, and that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, and that's exactly what a heel is supposed to do. A heel is supposed to make people want to pay money to see them get their ass whipped.
hopefully, there's a decent amount of people who want to see that.
You have, is it Matty Wahlberg this weekend?
At FWA, yes.
So you'll be looking forward to that one. It's a nice little match.
I am, we've lost count of how many times we've wrestled now since I got back, so it's great. He's awesome to work with. He's, you know, everyone knows how good he is. He's a really good worker. He's this awesome character. There's just so much to work with, and, you know, he's obviously got so much steam at the moment, so I really enjoy working with Matty.
Yeah, and speaking of people that have sort of steam, you sort of have low-key steam, because you flew off not long ago and did a sneaky little tryout over in, it was in Toronto, wasn't it? For the...
A sneaky one.
Sneaky one.
yeah, snuck off for a sneaky try in Toronto. It was a very good experience. So,
I'm guessing that was sort of linked up a little bit with Battle Arts.
Mate, I don't know. I got an email. I got an email and I got an invitation and I got on a plane. And that's about all there was to it. You don't say no to something like that.
Yeah. And I don't want to go much into it because I think people talk too much about their tryouts with that sort of thing.
Sure.
I think that some of the things that you just should stay a little bit secret, if you will. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's, I'll share the stuff that
they share.
The WWE posts and stuff like that. But other than that, there's not really much to say. I think everyone kind of gets the deal and how it works and stuff. So it's a really good experience. It was a really good opportunity. And if, you know, whatever comes from it, I'm grateful just for that.
Yeah. Brilliant. So you're down in Australia now. You're in Sydney. You're working. You've got to be loving that you're pretty much in the most thriving area at the moment for professional wrestling in Australia. For the longest time, it was MCW with a deal, but now with this whole OVO deal and you being part of like PWA and also a little bit of Nui Pro, you've got to be loving that your stuff can be seen live almost every second week now.
Right, yeah. I love wrestling in Sydney, period. It's so good. I've never had as much fun with wrestling as I have since I've been back. I think when you know, at the risk of, you know, sounding like an idiot, you've got to see other countries and go other places to realize just how good the wrestling here is.
Yep.
It's such a high standard. It's crazy. And I remember, and again, the risk of sounding like a dickhead, I thought when I came back from Battle Arts and when I'd come to Sydney, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm going to go train at PWA and I'm going to be so good. I'll be, you know, top of the class. I'll get on the show. It's going to be awesome. And I could not believe when I got to class how bad I was compared to everybody else. It's so good. The standard is so high. I love that just because it seems to me like no matter where you're working or no matter who you're working, you're up against someone safe, someone good, and someone you can create something really strong with.
Yeah.
And just fun. Everyone's cool. There's no, it's relaxed. Like everyone's friends. It's a really good community. Like you say, that's the main thing for me is that this is supposed to be fun and I'm really enjoying it. But I seem to be getting in at a really good time because it's just everything in Sydney is just so hot right now.
Yeah.
So especially PWA and Newcastle, and those two shows in particular are some of the most fun I've had since I've started doing this. It's just really enjoyable, rewarding work.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, with that green label, what's it like working in that ring with the roof being so low?
It's great.
Is it?
It's awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
In my opinion, anything that's different is good because, you know, if we have, you know, unless it's dangerous, obviously, but if we have circumstances like that where you can use it to help tell a story, like little things where I wrestled Kai on Sunday and I injured his foot, and then I looked at the ceiling and saw that there were nails in the roof and told the audience I was going to suplex his foot into the roof. It that's assisting my story.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's what you make it. And again, the guys that are on these shows are so talented and so good that they don't see it as, oh no, the roof's low. They see it as, okay, what are we going to do with this? I love it. The green label's so much fun.
And it's also a good chance for the guys that aren't actually cracking Max Watts at a regular basis to be able to get their time on those shows. And being still that it's on OVO, everyone's still seeing it, aren't they?
Yeah, 100%. So I think the viewership, you know, is Oh God, I don't know anything about it, to be honest. But from what I hear, everything's going really well. So I can only assume that, you know, all the shows that are getting on there are getting good viewership. So, you know, that means Green Label, that means shows like, if I think the Hoos is on there, is like the Newcastle shows,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So it's exactly like you say, is that guys that, if they're not normally on the Newcastle shows or on Black Label, they get a chance to get seen to that kind of audience. So yeah, it's awesome.
Well,
so, it's
really cool. I know, just as a matter of passing, at the last Venom show I was at was on the same night one of the Max Watch shows were, and somebody had a laptop on with that show playing during the show.
How good is that? I don't know if that makes you happy, but that makes me happy.
I love it. No, I love it because it means that Australian wrestling is so strong that the boys want to watch what the other guys are doing all around the country as well.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant an audience member.
No. No, that would make me upset.
Buy a ticket to your show and they sit there and watch Black Label.
No, I'd grab that phone and throw it. But but no, I just like I love what they've done with that whole deal and being able to see those shows because it is like you said, with the PWA Academy being the way it is and as strong as it is, the best wrestlers in the country at the moment, but apart from of course your MCWs and that, are being shown to the world and it's accessible to the world, which is amazing.
Sure, yeah.
You did the Quack seminar as well just recently, didn't you?
I did. I didn't get to go to as many days as I would have liked. But yeah, I went to one full day and yeah, it was great.
Yeah. What did he do on the day you were there? Just, was it psychology? Was it in ring? Was it?
We went through, you know, he goes through a lot of different stuff. You know, we did a little bit of chain wrestling stuff, a little bit of promo skill stuff. He's such an intelligent guy. Yeah. He's so well spoken and articulate, and the way he explains things he explains things in such a relatable way, whether it's like, you know, obscure comic book references or he has a way of really getting you motivated to keep learning, even when you're there for, you know, like we were there for sort of like, I think 10 hours or something.
Wow.
But you don't want to go because everything he says is so valuable. I can't put him over enough. Very, very kind person. Very, very good to learn from. And just such a huge, vast array of knowledge.
Yeah, I remember hearing a podcast he was on a little while ago with Sam Roberts. And the reason he talks the way he was apparently he had a speech impediment or something when he was a kid. So he learned how to talk. And that's why he's so articulate and so clearly spoken. And sometimes it seems like he's putting that voice on, but that's just his voice.
I didn't know that. No, didn't seem to me like he was putting it on. He just seems like he's just an incredibly articulate individual.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it has been great talking to you, mate. For people that want to follow you, how can they do that on their socials?
I got Instagram, I got Twitter, and I got Facebook. I think Twitter is _SJOSJOsborne_, and the Instagram I think is just @SJOsborne. Might be an underscore in the middle somewhere. Just search Sam Osborne, you'll find me.
Yeah. Like I said at the start, mate, you are, in my opinion, one of the guys that are in the next couple of years, everyone's going to be talking about around the country. I really love your work, and I cannot wait to see you again, mate.
Thank you very much, mate. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Some people say having an opinion is like having a penis. It's really great for you, but you shouldn't share it around. That's exactly what we don't do. We share it all about the internet. And in fact, we advertise it on other people's podcasts so that they can go and enjoy it as well. Am I talking about penises or am I talking about opinions on film? To find out, you'll have to go to our website, secondtakepodcast.com, or find Second Take Podcast on your podcatcher of choice.
Once again, big thanks to my guest, Sam Osborne. Do catch him, if you can, on a local show in your area. If you see him advertised, go out and check him out. If you're in Sydney this weekend, go and check out FWA. We'll be defending his belt against Matty Wahlberg. That would be a great match just by those two, hearing that those two names are on the bill. That'd be a great match. It's worth the price of admission, as they say, in itself. If you're wondering, I started off the interview by saying that Joel Bateman put a post up on What Would Gorilla Monsoon Do, saying the top five people that you think are in Australian wrestling who are under the radar and a chance to break out. The other four people I had on that was Xander Sullivan, EC Diamond, Matt Hayter, and Kingsley. Really enjoyed Kingsley's work this past weekend on Green Label with Jack Bonza. The stuff she's doing with that, the promos that they're filming for PWA with her and Jack Bonza, and the one with the Prefects just gone. Brilliant stuff. And really big things in the future for all of those five people. EC Diamond as well, I think I mentioned earlier, I've talked about him at the start of the show. One of the big guys coming out, Xander Sullivan, of course, the open weight champion now in Queensland, proving it week in, week out, he wants to be as good as he can possibly be. And you've just got to love someone that wants to go out and learn as much and to spread their wings and to get better at this art we call professional wrestling. If you haven't already, guys, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free. You can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop on iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. We're also on Spotify now, so go and check us out. And I think you follow that on Spotify. I'm not too sure how Spotify works. I'm an old man, you see. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Radio Australia and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU or me personally at Beast Eastman. The guys that were in the front row for a Grindhouse a couple of shows ago. Like I said, it's been a while since I've been able to get back on the podcast because I've been flat out doing this behind the scenes work with AWA. Those guys that said they wanted a shout out on the podcast. Here's your shout out, boys. Thanks for listening to the show. Also, we sold a couple of shirts for the last couple of weeks for WRA on Redbubble. So go and check them out, redbubble.com. I think it's just redbubble.com. Anything that you buy that's got Wrestle Radio Australia on it, the profits for that go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that we really do support here at Wrestle Radio Australia, supporting men's health and trying to fight this disgusting epidemic that is hitting young men in Australia. I say it all the time, but yeah, the work that they do, Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, is God's work. And any little thing we can do to help, if it's just giving up our profits from selling merch like this, I'm more than happy to do to just support them and to really help fight this disgusting epidemic that's hit Australia and hit the world, really, when it comes to men's health. So, go and support them. Support us and support them at the same time. There's no promo land this week, to be perfectly honest. I haven't really had a chance to watch that much in the way of promos for Australian wrestling. But one thing I will do, if you get a chance, go onto the AWA Facebook and check out the highlights package for Homecoming, the big show that's just gone past for us. Really, really good package that was cut together by the production team. I cannot thank them enough. The work that they do is amazing and they get better with every show. So big props to them. Go and check them out if you can at the AWA Facebook page. But that is it for this week at Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm Todd Eastman. Hopefully we'll see you next week if I'm not too busy. I'll probably get around to it. So anyway, see you next week, guys.